Okay, well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to share today. You know, there's been a lot on my mind recently. You know, recently things have been happening, you know, in this country that are just so, you know, terrible. So awful. Things that are happening all over the world that are terrible. And you know, why? Like, why do these terrible things happen? It got me thinking about that. And, you know, what can we do about that? Is there anything we could do? How do we set our minds right about that stuff? I want to talk about that today. So, if we could turn to James chapter 4, and we'll start there. James chapter 4. So, James chapter 4, verse 1, I think this section that I'm going to read is going to answer my question pretty directly. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask not and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You know, King James always, you know, pretty wordy. So, but I do have a different translation to kind of put this into terms that we understand, which I think it's a great translations of this. In the Message translation of this section, it says, where do you think all the appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. You know, these bad things happen because of us. We're the reason that these bad things happen. You know, it's very easy to say, and you know, I'm sure we've all been there at a point. You know, how could God let these bad things, you know, happen, to, you know, in the world? You know, it's not Him. God is purely good. There's no evil within Him. We are the ones that have the evil inside of us. You know, we're the ones that make these decisions and choices for these things to happen to ourselves and to other people. You know, God did not shoot all those children. He did not do that. He did not let that happen. Someone made a decision to go in there and do that, you know? God did not decide to attack Ukraine and get all those people, those innocent people killed. Vladimir Putin did that, you know? And all the things that happened thereafter because of his choices is what happened. But God has no part in that. That's just us. And I think this section answers that, pretty quickly. But there's, another question that kind of pops up when you think about that, because, we have the answer. I'm not done with the teaching yet, obviously. But, why does that happen? Like, why is there evil within us? I'm sure most of you know. But, for the sake of completion, I'm going to tell you, of course. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and we'll answer that question as well. Romans chapter 5, right after Acts, before 1 Corinthians. So, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the answer to that question, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. There's the answer to that question. It all happened because of one event that you all know what it is, that I will talk about in a second, that happened. And now, because of that, we all have sin within us. It's not fair. It's not fair that, that thing happened and now we have to suffer the consequences. But it's just, simple genetics, it's this time of year. I get really stuffy, sneeze a lot, and I have allergies, and it sucks. It's my dad's fault. He has them too. He probably got it from his parents. I have it now. It's genetics. It's just passed down the line. That's just how things work. But I'm obviously not mad at him for that, on most days, but they can be pretty bad sometimes. But that's just the way that, it works, biologically. Sin is within us, so of course it got passed down. It's in us from the very beginning, and it's crazy, to think about that because, we're born evil. It's just the way it is. You don't like to look at a baby and think that they're evil. And I'm not saying that necessarily, but what I mean is that there's sin within us and we have to be taught to do the right thing. When a baby's born, they don't pop out and they're like, "Hey, when you have time, mom and dad, I was wondering, if you could just like get me some food. I know you're busy, you have work and stuff, but just when you can you get that for me?" No, they're like, "Ah, I want food now." Very selfish. They want food, they want change, they want, and they'll let you know. They'll scream and kick about it. Obviously that doesn't happen when we get older because we're taught not to do that, right? That selfishness, that evil nature is in there from the very beginning. Let's go to the very beginning, Genesis, which Genesis, in the Greek is genos, which is like genetics, the beginning of everything, right? That's how we're built by, and we're going to just kind of see the record where this all happened. We start in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 16, right? So, starting there, it says in verse 16, "And the Lord commanded the man," talking about Adam, Adam is the man, "saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof you shall surely die." And that was the only stipulation in the beginning that God had for man. You could have whatever you want in here, later after he creates Eve, and he, it's the same thing for her too. You could do, you have dominion over the whole earth. You could eat anything. You could do anything you want here, but just don't do this one thing. Don't eat of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's the only thing they had to do, and they messed it up, obviously. But a question that you think about from this, I'm kind of going off on side things, but I think this is all very important to the one theme that I'm going for here. We all have decisions to make. We all have choices. We all have the free will to do the things that we want to do. It would be easy for God to not have put that there, and then they wouldn't have had an opportunity to sin, which would, you would think in a nutshell, that would be pretty, that'd be cool. Like, they can't do anything wrong, and that'll just be paradise. And it would be. But, I think it's really important to have the choice to love God. Otherwise, what is the point? I think about my parents. In July, they'll be together 46 years. Is that right? 36 years? 36 years. Okay. It's crazy. All those years ago, they made a commitment to each other. They chose to love each other. And that's what makes their marriage special. What makes any marriage special. You choose to be with the person that you love forever. It's not a situation where you're just forced together, to love one another. That would not be as special. Same thing with God. He wants us to choose to love him. And in putting that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he gave them the choice to love him and to do what he says. And that's why it was there. And when they did not do that, when they chose not to listen to him and listen to his commandments, that triggered where we are now. That triggered the sin to enter into the world. And I want to read a little further into the record, because this ties into the very first thing that I read you guys, starting in chapter 3, verse 1, skipping ahead a little bit. It says, "Now the serpent," which is the devil, "was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit in the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said that we shall not eat, neither shall we touch it, lest we die." Which she added a little stuff, by the way. God just said, don't eat it, and you will surely die, which means you will begin to die. Like, in dying, you will die. So, like, you're not going to die on the spot, but you will die eventually. But she's saying, well, yeah, he said not to eat that. He said, we can't touch it either, and we might die. So there's a little bit of doubt in there already. And the serpent says, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, little g, not gods, but just gods, knowing good and evil. And this goes back to the first verse that I read before. People want things that they don't have, and they take them. The root of sin and evil, selfishness. Eve was like, oh, maybe this guy's right, this little serpent thing. Maybe this guy's right. Like, if I eat this fruit, I will have something that I didn't have before. I will know what good and evil is. And, I mean, it's true. Like, we definitely know that now. She knew as soon as she took the bite of whatever fruit it was. It wasn't an apple, necessarily. I don't know what it was, but it was just some fruit on a tree. When she took the bite of that and Adam took the bite of that, they knew, and they immediately realized that they were naked and put clothes on themselves, where before they didn't even realize that. They made their decision. They made their choice. That's what they wanted. God didn't stop them from doing it, because he wanted them to choose to be with him, and they did not go that route, and that's why we're here. Free will is very important. We need that to love God, or else there would be no purpose to it, you know? But let's go to Psalm 37, because another question pops up from all of this as well. Psalm chapter 37. You look in the world and you see terrible things happening. And you know, sometimes terrible things happen to good people. And that stinks, you know? And sometimes good things happen to terrible people, you know? And it's like, what's up with that? I'm sitting here doing my best, working hard every day, you know, doing the right thing, living for God. But then this guy over here who, you know, is, you know, just an evil dude. He sucks. He's a, you know, explicit. He's just not a good person. And he's rich. He's got everything, you know, and I'm over here not having that. What's going on with that? Let's talk about that now. In Psalm 37, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Just to stop there after those three verses, the very first thing it says is, "Fret not because of evildoers." So if you're like, oh man, like, why are these good things happening to these terrible people? You're already going in the wrong direction. We're not supposed to worry about them. We're only supposed to worry about ourselves and doing God's word and living in a righteous way. That's all we have to worry about. We can't control what happens to other people. We have to focus on ourselves. And the minute we begin to do that, we're going to drive ourselves crazy. We keep going in verse 4. "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth from his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord will inherit the earth." You know, they'll get theirs. You know, the people who are doing the wrong things, they'll get what's coming to them. It may not be necessarily right now when we could see, but they will get it ultimately. We just have to continue to trust in God, focus on God, and, you know, we will have comfort in that. And we, all the things that we need will be provided for us. We just have to make that choice to do that, you know? And those other people who are not doing that, they've made their choice as well, and they're choosing their end. Okay? Verse 10 now. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnash upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming." So, reading through this, it's all belaboring the same point. The point being that we can't worry about the people who are not doing God's word or are doing evil. And it may affect us, unfortunately. I mean, life's not fair. And it may affect us, but that's all because of free will and the choices that they made that can impact people who don't deserve it. All we have to worry about is trusting in God, and he will provide for us. And the people who are doing evil, they will pay the ultimate price. And, you know, God's seeing them doing those things, and he's laughing at them because he knows what's coming. He's laughing at them. The evil people are laughing at us, thinking that we're, you know, silly or stupid or whatever it is they think about us. But God's laughing at them because he knows what's coming to them. And I think that's something we have to keep in our minds. I think that's a really cool thing. I mean, if you ask me. To continue at this point, we go to Proverbs chapter 3. One of my favorite places to read. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We have to make the decision to do that. We decide to trust in God, and you know, take heed to the things that he's saying and live the way that he wants us to live. He'll help us do that. You know, that's a choice that we have to make inside ourselves. It's all about the free will, all about the choices. That's why anything happens in this world, because of the choices people make. So we want to make good choices. So we want to choose to live the right way. Let's keep going here. In Romans chapter 5, to continue to put this into perspective, to really hit home this point about the choices that we can make. Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." I only want to touch on this a little bit, but, you know, there's, you know, there's a saying that people say, that I don't necessarily believe, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. I don't know that I necessarily think that, but I do think that things happen, and we can make the decision of how to handle the situations, and God, through those situations, will help us through them, whatever they are, good or bad. We could choose to make a bad situation a way to grow closer to God. Now, I'm not saying that that's why those bad things happen to us. I'm just saying that those bad things happen, and we could choose to see the good side of them, you know, grow closer to God. But they don't happen so that happens to us necessarily, but they happen, and we can choose to grow closer. Keep reading here. I think verse 6 I was. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man would, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved for the wrath through him. You know, another thing to think about is I said that there's sin within us already. We have to fight, you know, to keep that, like, bottled down to as much as we can. You know, we all need help, you know. We can't do it alone. But Christ died for us so we can, so we can go and be with God. Eventually, he died for us for that reason. He died for everybody. You know, there's that life raft there that everyone has to choose to take hold of or not, you know? And you can only make that choice within yourself. You can't force someone else to do that. And would never want to do that, but you have to choose within yourself, to want that. You know, we go to a very famous verse next to continue with that point about the choices. We're going to look at this verse in a different light. John 3:16. Everyone knows that, of course. We see it all over the place on the signs and the sporting events and the face paint on people's faces. So we all know what it says, basically. But to spin it in the perspective of what we're talking about here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, it's like Jesus coming, dying for us. You know, that's like the life raft being thrown to us. We just have to choose to take it, you know? He didn't come to the world to say, you know, you're gonna die, you know, exactly. He did not come to the world to do that. He came to the world to save us from that. We're already gonna die. Like, it's already gonna happen. We have to choose to get out of that. And the way that we choose that is through that sacrifice and continuing to choose and live for God. You know, everyone knows here, I'm a teacher, a math teacher, right? You know, there's this one time, you know, I gave this test. It was on a hard topic. I mean, it was a kind of a culmination of different topics that we had in class. And I knew it was going to be a pretty tough test. I made it. But I gave them all the opportunities that they had to, you know, to study for it. You know, we did multiple days of review. You know, I gave them study guides, questions to take home and do for themselves to prepare them to take this test, because I knew it was going to be tough. And, you know, they took the test and I was grading them all, and man, they tanked that thing. Only 5 kids passed. And I was sitting here and I was like, did I miss something? Like, did I do something wrong? Like, I looked at the test. I was like, was this fair? Were the questions fair? Like, did I put stuff on the test that they didn't learn? Did I not go over it enough? You know, I drove myself crazy wondering if it was something that I had done. You know, I got opinions from other teachers, my bosses. They were like, I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure that you did everything right. Like, there's a certain responsibility that falls on your kids too. And, you know, that's when it clicked. I did rip them apart because I was very upset with the results of the test. But they didn't study. They didn't take the stuff that I gave them and use it to do better on the test. You know, because when I was, before I told them that only 5 kids passed and I was handing, you know, the test back and talking about it, they were like, oh, you know, the test was pretty fair. Like, we definitely learned everything, like, and all that. Like, I told them that before they all tanked, before I told them their grades. And after I told them, they were like, oh, and I was like, well, you said that I gave you all the materials. So there's only so much I could do at this point. It's on you. It's on us. That's all I got. That's all I have to share.